We are in a sermon series called Growing God's Church, God's Way. Week number one, the premise of all this is that this represents the foundation, Jesus Christ, that we build His church upon, and that He has given us certain things that He wants us to use to build His church. Week one, we saw that God wants us to use His Word as what we learn and deal with the church. Last week, we talked about how love is to be that prevailing element in our lives and in God's church as well. And today, we're going to take a look at God's people, or what makes the church so important. Before we do, I want us to just kind of have a little bit of fun with this question. I just want you to name out loud some of the groups that you can join in our society. What are some of the groups that you can join? Groups or clubs or service organizations or whatever? Masons, Boy Scouts, Lions. Okay. Republican, Democrat. No, those are groups that you can join. Okay. Red Hat, YMCA. I mean, there's a lot of different groups. Now, you can also, so to speak, join the church. But here's the question. What makes the church different than any other group you can join? Well, Paul gives us the answer in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I want you to think about Paul's words for a moment. He teaches us that when we became a Christian, we became part of the body of Christ. This teaching is so important to him that in 1 Corinthians he reaffirms this when he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." Today, I want us to consider two realities of what it means to be part of the body of Christ and the important implications it has as the way we continue to strive to grow God's church, God's way. Here's the first reality that's in your outline. We are different from one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 4, Paul says, each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function. Now, of the many comparisons that Paul could have used to describe the church, he chose the human body for a particular reason. And I believe this because just like the church, the human body has many different parts, but they all compose one whole. Now, our daughter is expecting in December. It'll be her first child and our fifth grandchild. And she's excited, we're excited, and it's going to be a great time. But have you ever wondered what happens within that child as it develops and grows in the womb? It starts off with that one tiny cell, and over 9 months just develops into literally trillions of cells, and they're so different from one another. Dr. William Brand, he described the cells of the human body in his book Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. You've probably, if you've not read it, it's one you should read. It'll just give you an amazement about this body that we have. But for example, I want you to consider how he describes the various types of cells in the body. For example, anybody here have red blood cells? Okay, well you do. You know what they look like under a microscope, according to Dr. Brand? They look like little lifesaver candies that are just traveling through the body loaded with oxygen, and they just can't wait to deliver that load to everyone else. Muscle cells look sleek and supple, just coiled full of energy. Cartilage cells look, with their little black nuclei, look like a bunch of black-eyed peas that are glued tightly together. Here's one you'll like. Fat cells. under the microscope. They look like bulging white plastic trash bags jammed together. Isn't that just the description you wanted to see this morning? Bone cells resemble tree rings that literally describe the various ways our body is growing. And it's the same way with every cell in the body. Skin cells and nerve cells and the rods and the cones and the eyes. Literally millions and trillions of different cells, none of which are quite alike. And the same is true in the body of Christ. Think of how many Christians there are on this earth right now. And God says we are one body, yet we're so different than each other that it staggers the imagination. Our differences are illustrated in Scripture when Paul talks about the different gifts that God has given each of us to serve the body. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I want us just to use this little microcosm of the body of the church that we call Babcock Road Christian Church just to consider some of the differences that we have this morning. Some of us are older than others. Some of us are younger than others. Some are tall, some are short. Some are single, some are married. Some sing beautifully, and there are those of us like me who don't, okay? Some have hearts full of joy because your life is so blessed this morning. And others hurt because your life is full of pain. Some of you are morning people. And when you get up, you go, "Good morning, Lord!" And others of you are not morning people, and you get up and you go, "Oh Lord, it's morning." You know, some of you like your music loud and fast and exuberant, and some of you like your music slow and just almost, you know, peaceful. Some of you express your love for the Lord in a very reverent, quiet, inward way. Others of you want to express your love for the Lord in a loud, outgoing way. Some of you have attended church since you were in the womb yourself. And some of you have just started attending church. And we could go on about personalities and colors and backgrounds and all different types of things. But the point of it is, we just in this room illustrate how different we are from one another. But the fact is, in Corinthians, God says we are different because that's how God designed us. He says, in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Think about the implications of God's word for a moment. God wants us to be different than one another. He designed us to be different than one another. And from his perspective, the church is kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. It's only as we begin to join together with all of our differences that the total picture of Christ begins to come together. Knowing that, we should rejoice in our differences. But do we? I can remember one time when I was dean of a high school camp. Had about 100, 120 high schoolers that week. And we had assigned some of the high schoolers to family groups. And this one high schooler showed up. And he was all in all black clothing. He was had some jewelry in various spots around his body. His hair looked really out of it and really weird. And just the way he dressed and looked, my first impression is, this guy is going to be a troublemaker. And I better keep my eye on him the whole week. Ironically, he had been pre-assigned to my wife's family group, so I was able to have a kind of that, like I said, okay, I'll be able to really keep an eye. During the course of the week, as we got to know him and who he was, he had an amazing story. About a year and a half earlier, he had noticed that there are a bunch of kids in his high school that no one reached out to. These were the kids that belonged to no church, and no group on campus claimed them because they were the outcast of the high school. And he had been reading scripture. And a junior in high school, think about it, he was reading where Paul said, "I become all things to all men so that I might win some to Christ." And so this boy, with the permission of his parents, changed his appearance. He grew his hair long. He got tattoos. He got spikes and piercings. And he began to change his language and do different things. And he began to be part of this group, all because he recognized that this was a people group that needed a missionary of Jesus Christ to reach out to them. And during the course of the week, this young man's love for Christ became apparent. His love for people became apparent. And by the end of the week, he was one of the two kids that we voted Camper of the Week to give a college scholarship to. Now, how does this reality apply to you and I today? Instead of appreciating our differences, all too often, we allow our differences to divide the body of Christ. We see someone who doesn't act like we do. We see someone who doesn't dress like we do. We see someone who doesn't worship like we do. And all of a sudden, the body of Christ begins to crack and splinter. And it's easy for the different groups to go to different places rather than be with one another. Now, here's the point of this first half of the message for our church. If we are going to be the growing church that God wants us to be, it will be as we celebrate and accept the differences that God has created us with. Now, that's going to be difficult. Because someone who is different than you, you may have that first time you see them, your impression may be just like mine towards that high school boy. This person's a troublemaker. I better look out for them. When you see someone different walking into this church, it means that God has brought them here to celebrate their differences and to bring their differences to enrich the church. And that means our role is to accept and to welcome and to love and to get to know. If this church grows as God wants it to, this building is going to be full of people who are increasingly different than one another. And that is the beauty of the body of Christ. And that is what I want us to look forward to and celebrate. Now, because we are different, that leads directly into the second reality, and that is we need each other, even with all of our differences. Now, to illustrate this, I need someone who likes to eat. Jeff! I need someone to volunteer, okay? Now, Jeff, what is your favorite dessert, bar none? The one you would die for, the one you would just almost literally just, no matter how stuffed you are after a meal, you will eat that dessert. Dark chocolate. Okay. Now, let's just imagine what's happening when Jeff sees that dark chocolate and the server brings it by. Okay, I want you to think about some of the things that have to happen. First of all, his eyes see that coming a long way away. As it gets closer, his nose begins to smell the scent of that dark chocolate. And his saliva glands begin to water. And his brain begins to get into the gear. And his body is just almost ready to go into full gear there. The nerves relay the message to the brain that, hey, I don't care if I've just eaten 5 pounds. I'm going to go after this. The lungs breathe in the oxygen as he screams out to the waiter, 3 helpings, please! And then his muscles get into it. I mean, that, all that energy and all the work time you spent working out this week, he is just digging into that dark chocolate and shoveling it into his mouth for all it's worth. And then as it does, the teeth and the tongue begin to get into it. And as that dark chocolate hits the tongue, the flavors begin to burst and the brain goes wild and all that sugar and everything else. And then the digestive system gets into the act as the dessert goes through the intestines and the digestive juices begin to dissolve all the fun stuff into the nutrients and the calories and the fats and all that other. And then the stomach acids get in and they begin to separate it even more. And the kidney and the liver help out. And don't forget the heart's all pumping during the whole time. Now, Jeff, honestly, do you think about any of that when dark chocolate is brought to your plate? What do you think about? You're going to eat it. Just like any of us would. But I want you to take that. For the sake of what I'm going to say later on, in Jeff's body, which part of his body was not necessary in order to eat the dessert? Was it the intestines? No, he's going to need those. Was it the brain? Well, maybe that's he turned it off to eat the dessert. I don't know. Okay. Was it the tongue? No, if you think about it, literally every part of his body was necessary. Every different part was necessary in order to have that one experience of enjoying the church. The dessert, I mean. Now, I want you to think about what happens when a family comes into the church and says they want to be a part of this church. They come because they've enjoyed the experience of the church. But think about some of the differences, the different things that had to happen for that family to come and to be able to enjoy this body of Christ. First of all, there were people a generation ago, even in some cases two generations ago, who had the work and the money and the vision to make this church possible. There were the people who designed this church and built it and put it all together. There were those who said that we need a sound system and we need a video system that is able to just help us enjoy worship. I mean, have you ever thought that someone had to literally build these pews that we sit down on and take for granted? Someone else, you know, it was even the being able to put communion together. If that family had children, the nursery person, the children's church, the teaching in the Sunday school, they enjoyed the sermon. It was because people have invested thousands of hours over the last 40 years in enabling me to be a speaker that I am today. We could go on and on. But when that family comes forward and says they want to be a part of this church, let's ask the question, which member of this church was not needed to make that decision happen? Right. Just like the human body, we were all part of this decision. Now, I want us to think about something Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Therefore, there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for one another. Now, what's the point of this teaching for you and I this morning? Simply, if we are to glorify God in this community by becoming the growing church that He has called us to be, it will only be as each one of us, with all of our differences and with all of our different strengths and with all of our different spiritual gifts, as we all begin to work together to make that church growth happen. And how do we do that? We do that by getting to know one another. We do that by becoming involved in God's church. We do that by celebrating our differences, our diversities, and yet our strengths and the common core of our faith in Jesus Christ. We do so by realizing that the way we become God's church is when we, with all of our differences, are able to gather around Christ and celebrate Him and let His love unite us. I want us to be different than most churches. I want us to be a church that celebrates difference, that celebrates service, that celebrates one another, because that is the way Christ wants us to be as we grow into His image and His church. Let's pray. Father, we thank You very much that You have made us different from one another. And the proof of that is in this room. If we were to look around and see all of the many ways we're different, it would be so easy to be like the world around us and let those differences divide us, create factions and opposition. But help us to realize that You created us as we are. And help us to realize that with all of our differences, we need each other. There is no person in this room that is unimportant in the body of Christ. There is no person in this room that is unneeded in the body. May we recognize that. And in so doing, reaffirm the value and the beauty of each person here. We ask this in Your precious Son's name. Amen. We are beginning to have a growing number of people who are visiting our church Sunday in, Sunday out. My challenge to you is to make that decision to say, I want to be not just an attendee of this church, but a member of this church. We can show you how, we can tell you how, but if that's your desire, we would love for you to come forward and let us know that. Because there are a growing number of attendees, there may be some of you who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never been baptized into Christ to celebrate the forgiveness of your sins. And if that's the desire, a decision that you would make this morning or would like to talk about for the future, we would encourage that you come forward for that as well. Let's stand and sing, and if you have a decision to make, will you do so as you come forward during the invitation song?